Welcome everyone back to the RF Sports Radio Show. My name is Roger Bishop, co-host Roy Fisher here in just a second. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We've got a big, big show for you guys tonight. A lot to talk about from the NFL, four scores and highlights. We're also going to get into the NBA as well with the Mavs getting started for their season and training camp. We got a chance to go out to Mavs Media Day, so we get started with that as well, too. I want to remind everyone, if you want to follow us online, it's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to rfsportsradio.com or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/rfsportsradio. We got a big week of programming coming up this week. Of course, all of our shows will be broadcasting live on the website. Also, we'll be airing an edition of our show where we will be going into the Grambling State Tigers taking on the Prairie View Panthers at the State Fair Club. It's going to start, we start running that audio on Thursday, getting ready for the game, which is coming up on Saturday. So you get a chance to hear the live press conference, hear everything that went on during the press conference, and we also had a chance to talk with Doug Williams, Super Bowl MVP Doug Williams, and he'll be on the show on Thursday night as well, too. So a big week for us, and we're definitely proud to be bringing you guys this audio and also sports talk from a fan's perspective as always. Let's talk about the NFL real fast, guys. A lot to talk about. I know everyone's waiting to get into the Cowboys and everything the Cowboys had going on this weekend after suffering a huge loss at the hands of the Chicago Bears. So let's take a quick break and come right back. I'll try to see if I can find him. I know he's walking around the studio somewhere. Let's take a quick break and come right back, and we'll get right into the rest of the show. You're listening live to RF Sports Radio, sportsradio.com.
This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. Do you have a business, a product, a service, or a website, and you need more customers? Advertise with the fastest-growing internet sports radio show and market your business to sports fans worldwide. Don't miss a unique opportunity to capitalize on the biggest marketing genre in the world. Email me at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We have options for every budget, and don't let business pass you by.
From Rifle Man, Smoke in the City, available now. Album features Blow Fly, Mayhem, Kenfolk Jack, and the Grit Boys, with many, many other. Also featuring production from super producer none other than Big Crit. Available now at all of your favorite online retailers, iTunes, Amazon, Napster, Rhapsody, 7 Digital, E Music, and every other major online retailer that you can think of. Don't wait, go pick up Smoke in the City now. It's blazing.
Welcome back, everyone, to the RF Sports Radio Show. We do have our technical difficulties all worked out, and I'm finally joined by my co-host, the man everybody wants to hear anyway, Mr. Royce Fisher. Royce, how are you tonight?
Right now, I'm doing fine. I was looking for a bag to put over my head after the Cowboy game last night. I'm ashamed to be a Dallas Texan. Shame. Shame.
Well, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk a lot about the Cowboys, of course, everything that went on in the NFL Week 4. And again, guys, stay tuned for the rest of the show, where we'll also be talking about the NBA as well, too. Let's jump right into Week 4 action, starting with the Carolina Panthers and the Falcons. The Falcons win that game 30-28. Falcons remain undefeated at 4-0. Of course, they had to have a late-game drive to win the game and a field goal to win the game after Cam Newton fumbled on a pivotal, needed first down on a fourth down, in which he had the first down, fumbled backwards, and nevertheless had to turn the ball over. But the Panthers, I thought, Royce, did enough to win this game. We just couldn't finally put everything together towards the end.
Listen, Ryan, I saw that game. The Panthers should have won that game. It was a minute left in regulation play. They pinned them down on the one-yard line, and they let them go down and kick a field goal. That's on the defense. I don't put that on Cam Newton whatsoever. The defense lost the game for him.
And you know they had that new guy back there playing safety. I think his name was Amakanura or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's back there playing safety. None of this guy played special teams, and he got used. I mean, Roddy White used him.
Was 60-yard pass.
No, the thing is, when you play a defense like that, you can't let anyone get behind you. And I'm surprised that a coach like Ron Rivera, a defensive-minded coach, is not going to have his defense ready to play or have a better option than safety besides a special team guy.
Well, they're lucky that the pass was short. Had it been on target, it had been a touchdown. But you're absolutely right. You don't let the man get behind you. I thought Cam played a great game. It was a great game, period. Both teams. And they really had won the game. Go ahead.
So whose record you think is a better reflection of the team? The Panthers at 1-3 or the Falcons at 4-0?
The Falcons, though, I think 4-0. Them being 4-0 is a big feat. They are playing great. How long can they keep this up? Barring injuries, we'll see. I wouldn't put any money on them, though.
Yeah, I'm still not going to really buy into the Falcons right now because, like we said in a couple of shows, you know, that we've seen them do this in the regular season. But
right.
Until they win a playoff game, which Matt Ryan has no wins in the playoffs, until that happens, I really can't get behind them doing any kind of major damage within the NFL. Matt Ryan did have a really, really good game, 25 for 40, which is not that good a completion ratio, but did have 369 yards and 3 TDs. Michael Turner had a great game, 13 carries, 103 yards. And, of course, Roddy White had 169 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Falcons as they get the win and move to 4-0. Now let's jump to the Bills and the Patriots. The Patriots win the game 52-28. I picked the Patriots to win. You picked the Bills to win, although you had Tom Brady as your quarterback on your fantasy team, which is
right.
A little ironic. Got to pick them to win.
So
I'll be honest. Exactly. when it was 14-7 going into halftime and then 21-7 in the third quarter, after that, the Patriots basically just took off, especially in that fourth quarter, scoring 31 points in the fourth quarter to win the game. Tom Brady, 340 yards passing, 3 TDs. And they overcome so much, but the Buffalo Bills with 6 turnovers. You can't win the game with 6 turnovers. Fitzpatrick had a terrible day. He threw for 4 TDs, but turned the ball over a lot. They couldn't get the running game going with C.J. Spiller or any other running back. And Tom Brady and the Patriots took advantage of this Buffalo Bills defense. And I thought they spent so much money on defense in the offseason, but we've yet to see this defense really start playing.
Well, Tom Brady does it again. We've seen this countless times. Buffalo really had the game won in the first two quarters. I really thought they were going to win the game, and it came down to the fourth quarter, and they just looked like they gave up. Belichick is the best at making adjustments after halftime, and they saw something there. They exploited it, man. I mean, it was a 52-28. That was a blowout. I expected more from Buffalo. I don't really believe in them either.
Well, you told me that was your stupid team.
That was my Cinderella team. Well, you know, I still think they would do well, but I'm not setting my expectations back.
But you know what? Ironically, even with the loss, they have the same record as the Patriots, 2-2. And I just knew
right.
The Patriots weren't going to lose 3 games in a row. I just knew that wasn't going to happen. Now, the way they won this game, I think it's going to give them a lot of momentum to carry throughout the season, especially for some of the younger guys on the team. Even the guys like Gronkowski, you know, for him to have a bad game at first and then kind of pull it out towards the end, get the touchdown. Tom Brady struggled at the beginning of the game. He even had a rushing touchdown in his game. I mean, when he's having a rushing touchdown and he's getting everyone involved, Woodhead gets a touchdown, Gronkowski gets a touchdown, everybody gets a touchdown. Then the running game, for the Patriots, I thought, you know, they never really focused on the running game, but they got some production out of their running game on Sunday. Absolutely. They definitely did.
That's the highest point for the whole weekend out of anybody. That gives the team a lot of confidence.
Yeah, wish they had to score a lot of points, and they did. They definitely did, especially in that third quarter. Now, the Vikings and the Lions. The Vikings, Royce, I think they're for real. They're 3-1, sitting on top of the NFC North right now. They won 20-13 over the Lions, and they beat the Lions pretty much all game. The Lions really couldn't get anything done. Don't know really what happened to their defense or offense. Now, the Vikings themselves didn't have any offensive touchdowns whatsoever and still won the game because the Lions just couldn't get anything done on defense, on offense, rather, and their special teams still plagued them. Now, this is for the first time in NFL history, you've got a team that's given up a kick return for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown in two consecutive games. And if you're Coach Schwartz, how do you let this happen? You know, special teams is something that you got to have, but how do you let this happen 2 weeks in a row?
Well, I think he's slipping. We saw it last week when they could have kicked the field goal and tied the game up. They elected to run on fourth down, didn't get it. But I was impressed with Minnesota's defense. I thought they played pretty good. And anytime you have Percy Harmon on your team, man, you got a chance. This guy's a dynamite. He always performs. He comes to play every week. But Ponder's playing pretty good. I've seen him play better. But I think Minnesota, they're a good 8-18, if not better.
Yeah, they're much better now. I mean, they're on top of the NFC North, which right. In that division, you've got the Bears. Of course, they're tied with the Bears, I guess, you know, would be adequate since the Bears beat Dallas. So they're tied with the Bears, but you still got Green Bay. You still got Detroit. Right. And Minnesota's right there. We thought Minnesota would finish last in this division.
Last,
and they're right there.
Right there in the mix.
You know, I think Coach Schwartz, you know, his seat's getting pretty hot down there. After having what he did on fourth down didn't work in overtime against Tennessee, losing that game. And then you don't have a good showing against Minnesota at a home game. I think that really is going to hurt Coach Schwartz if he can't get this thing turned around. What happened to that dynamic duo of Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson combined?
I don't know. Something
every week.
Something's off there. Actually not clicking. We saw them in the draft, you know, build up that defense. They got Farley, you know, a year ago. And, you know, they did something. But I don't know what's – it's some of the same players, and I just don't understand. They're just not clicking. Kind of like your Cowboys.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about them.
Yeah, I'll do that.
The Chargers beat the Chiefs 37-20. No big surprise in this game other than the Chiefs. Again, Matt Castle struggling. 251 yards and two touchdowns. Jamal Charles, he had a bunch of fumbles in this game. The Chiefs had 6 turnovers overall, which you can't win a ball game with 6 turnovers. Charles did try to redeem himself, had 92 yards rushing and 1 touchdown, but did cough the ball up several times during that game as well, too. The Seahawks lose to the Rams 19-13. Are you surprised by this game at all? I think we both picked the Seahawks to win.
Yeah, and the Seahawks should have won that game. They gave that game away. I'm really surprised. I still think that quarterback Wilson, he's going to have a little trouble. He's still a rookie, as we know, but I look for him to do better in his sophomore year. But, you know, it's a learning experience, and this team hustles, man. You know, I so far I'm impressed with them. They should have won that game.
Now, Russell Wilson, you talk about him at quarterback, he went 17-25, only 160 yards and no touchdowns.
Right.
So the question's been raised, you know, how long do you stay with Russell Wilson? You know you have a defense that's good enough to win. I think we all know that you got a pass rush good enough to win, but how long do you stay with a quarterback that's only going to give you 160 yards passing and no TDs?
But one thing I noticed about him, his receivers don't run good routes. They don't get open. They don't get separation enough where he has to hold the ball too long. He has to learn to get rid of the ball a lot quicker. But he really doesn't have anybody to throw to.
That's a good point.
He really does. If you think about it, if you watch them play, the guys just don't get open. I mean, I hadn't seen anybody get open. So
they may or may not catch the ball either.
Right. So that's one problem they have.
Yeah, absolutely. In that game, that, of course, the rookie kicker for the Rams had had four field goals to win the game for the Rams. The Rams really didn't get a lot done on offense, only scoring one touchdown.
And then
but again, the Rams
either.
Yeah, the Rams are 2-2. The Rams are 2-2 still make their division pretty interesting, though. I mean, you got them, Seahawks, and so still got a pretty interesting division in the NFC West. Of course, we know how tough that's going to be anyway. Speaking of the NFC West, the San Francisco 49ers get the win over the Jets, 34-0, beating the Jets up. They went to that game in halftime 10-0, and since then they just put a whooping on the Jets and just had nothing, no answers for them whatsoever. Sanchez had 103 yards passing. 103 yards passing for the quarterback of the New York Jets. Went 13-for-29. We saw the 49ers do everything. We saw Frank Gore rushing the ball. The 49ers rushed for more than 200 yards total as a team, including their backup quarterback, Kaepernick, who came in and ran the Wildcat. Ran the same Wildcat that the Jets were supposed to be running with Tebow and scored a touchdown. Was very effective. They moved the ball. I don't understand what's going on with the Jets. I really don't. You got Tim Tebow. You still haven't really used him in the red zone. Instead, you got him in there as a punt block protector. That's ridiculous.
Well, when you have somebody like Tim Tebow, crowd favorite, you brought him up there for a reason, breathing down your neck, you should perform better. But I think it's Tebow time now. I don't even know if he will start. Tebow will probably start next week. This team was awful. They were the only team worse than the Dallas Cowboys this past weekend. And then they lost their best receiver, Santonio Holmes, which is really bad. So, the
I got to say something real quick about that play with Santonio Holmes. You know, I understand, and I heard somebody else say this before I had a chance to, but I understand that you got hurt. I understand you may have tweaked your foot a little bit, but when they brought the x-rays back and I saw that there was no broken bone damage, something like that, for you to give the ball up like that, that's just careless. I mean, that's just careless. You don't do that. You don't just throw the ball up for grabs and let them, you know, and give it away. You put the ball on the ground, you lay on it, you made the catch. You don't just throw the ball away like that. And he's been in the league long enough to know that. I'm not questioning whether Santonio Holmes is.
We don't know what he felt at the time, whatever happened to him. You know, that's injuries. But I saw Tony Romo throw the ball away, too. You don't do that either. And I saw guys miss passes and cause interceptions. You don't do that either. It's just one of those things, man. I mean, we don't know what kind of pain he experienced at that time. But apparently it was bad enough where he threw the ball away.
I still don't agree with that. I don't agree with it one bit that
and
you would cost your team
to
turn over like
that. Turnovers, they happen. That's part of the game.
Well, jumping to the next game, of course,
but
you can see both.
A bigger problem more than Santonio Holmes being throwing away the ball. They got a bigger problem than that.
Well, they got the Houston Texans in prime time next week, and
that's a lot.
I expect to see Tebow start in that game. I really do.
Right.
I think
right.
At this point you're 2-2. You're tied in the lead for that division. It's time to make a move now. I don't see no sense in waiting.
And 0 points, no offense whatsoever. You know, if you look at the list, everybody scored something, but for them to have a big fat zero. You know, where everybody else can score, that's not saying a lot about your team.
No, not at all.
You have
not
no points. You have no points, not even a field goal. That's bad. That's a skunk. We call that a skunk back in my day.
Then you've got the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans. The Texans get the win 38-14 over the Titans. Biggest surprise there, of course, is Jake Locker, who looks like he's been missing a considerable amount of time. Hasselbeck came in, didn't do that good of a job at all. Although, it was good to see Chris Johnson on the 1 week that I don't play him and send him on the bench in my fantasy league. He rushes for 141 yards, 25 carries, which is a big, big accomplishment against the Houston Texans defense. But this Texans team at 4-0, got the Jets next week. They could easily be 5-0. They look like the real deal to me.
I think they are. And, you know, we saw this team get better and better year after year after year. And now that everybody's healthy this year, the only problem this team ever had, they've been plagued with injuries. But everybody's healthy. If everybody can stay healthy, I can see them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to see that right now. But again, they got to stay healthy. You're right. That's always been the thing that kind of held them back, especially last year, losing Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson for quite some time,
right.
And Foster playing hurt.
Right.
But yeah, I agree. The Broncos put on a stellar performance, 37-6 over the Oakland Raiders. Peyton Manning looked like the old Peyton Manning, like the Madden Peyton Manning. Had three touchdowns, of course, in the game and threw for 338 yards. Peyton was 30 for 38.
Right.
And that's throwing the ball.
Well, you talked about him last week, remember? And you questioned Peyton. Peyton is back. This is the way I expected the Denver Broncos to play anyway. So I'm not surprised. This is what they're capable of doing. You know, and I think this was a great win for them, brought back confidence. It'll be a learning process for them too, but they can only get better. Only get better.
Then in the overtime game, it seems like the Dolphins are always involved in some type of overtime game. The Cardinals beat the Dolphins 24-21. The Dolphins did a good job of hanging in there, trying to get the win, although the Cardinals were able to come back and with Kevin Cobb get the win, kicking the field goal in overtime for the win of the game. Tannehill, very impressive, though, you know, for a rookie. 431
right.
yards passing. He was 1 yard shy of Cam Newton's rookie record of 432. He did go 26-41 and one TD. And Brian Hartline out of nowhere, if you played him in fantasy football, you were a genius. 12 receptions,
right.
253 yards in a loss. And Kevin Cobb, of course, with 3 touchdowns. And Arizona didn't seem like Arizona. Didn't seem like they were really clicking on defense or even offense for that matter, but did just enough to win. And a win is a win. And the Cardinals are 4-0.
And I'm surprised, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are surprised. Nobody expected this. I not even the last 4 weeks I even picked them to win. But here they are, 4-0. And I don't know what to make of this team. Do you? I really don't.
And 4-0, I think they're legitimate contenders. I mean, on top of the NFC West, which is a huge feat when you think about the teams
right.
that are involved in there. But once they start playing more teams within their division, I think we'll start seeing how good they are. I got to see them
right.
play the Niners
right.
twice and see what happens with
right.
that, you know, see if they're really going to be a good team.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Now, Cincinnati Bengals, no surprise to anyone, they beat up on the Jaguars 27-19. Gabbert had another, bad performance, I would say. They got the loss.
All right.
23-35, 186, and one touchdown. Jones-Drew had 13 carries for 38 yards, 0 touchdowns, as the Bengals were able to kind of contain him. And the Saints and the Packers win 28-27, a 1-point win over the Saints, and it took a lot for the Packers to get the win. You know, it took everything for the Packers to get the win, but nonetheless, they did get the win and pulled it out. Aaron Rodgers had 31-41, 319 yards, 4 touchdowns. Breeze put on a show, 446 yards, 3 touchdowns. And it really was
and
the Saints defense, I think, that really, really
yeah,
did
them
to get their own
score. They butt up. You could tell that they really wanted to win this game. I mean, the guys played. It was close. They could have won. I really was pulling for the Saints, but Green Bay got the better bounce of the ball at the end of the regulation, and they won the game by 1 point. In fact, they came back and scored a touchdown to win that game.
Right.
But I thought the Saints really played great. Unfortunately, it's another loss. Like I said, win's a win, a loss is a loss. I don't know where you go from here. It's New Orleans.
Well, New Orleans got a home game where Drew Brees has a chance to break Johnny Unitas' record for a consecutive game.
Right. 47.
And he tied it at 47, so he's going for 48 next week. That's going to be a home game against his old team, the Chargers. I expect the Saints to win that game and get their first win. We've heard that he has requested that a couple of people be there that are not supposed to be there, like his former head coach or current head coach, but now suspended, Sean Payton, and also the GM, Mickey Loomis, as well. He's requested for the NFL to allow them to come to that game while he breaks his record. So we'll see what happens, but I think they win that game at home against the Chargers.
Well, you should hope so.
Yeah, I do.
I hope they win, right.
And the Buccaneers and the Redskins get the win 24-22. The Buccaneers played really tough, but RG3 had a good game, 323 yards, passing. And it seems like the Buccaneers at 1-3. They're playing tough. They did what they had to do at the end, but couldn't pull it off. Condon's winning field goal for RG3. The guy goes 1-for-3 for field goals in the game, but the one that he hit was the one that counted.
Right. And watching, really, I played this team, like I said, the missed field goals could have cost them the game. But Robert Griffin, I am very much impressed with, man. This guy here is playing like he's been in the league 2 or 3 years. Confidence.
Yeah, that's what you need. That's what you need as a rookie,
right,
especially.
And, you know, Shanahan's got to be happy.
Because
you can do so much with this guy. He's so versatile, you know. And I don't think he's had a quarterback like that since young Elway. So he's got to be happy. He's doing a great job.
Absolutely. In the Sunday night game, you talk about a kicker that made his field goal to win the game. Here's a kicker that didn't make a field goal. Tynes missed the field goal that would have gave the Giants the win by 1 point, but yet he missed the field goal, and the Eagles win 19-17. I thought the Eagles did a good job the entire game, defense and offense. They gave up some touchdowns to the Giants late in the second half, won the third quarter, won the fourth quarter. But before then, they were pretty dominant. And Michael Vick did his thing. He didn't turn the ball over. And that's what I think was
crucial.
That's
the key right there. Right.
They had so many turnovers at the start of the season, but they did not turn the ball over at all. And I think that was the true key for the Eagles to get the win.
Well, to be honest with you, I think they passed the turnover jinx to the Cowboys because the Cowboys looked more like the Eagles the last couple of years. Last couple of games and turnovers. But, this game was a great game, much better game than the score reflects. I thought both teams played hard. Like I said, Philadelphia didn't turn the ball over. Michael Vick had no interception, no turnovers. And I think this righted the ship. Whatever problem they have, I think this made it go away.
Yeah, I would think so, too. They look really, really good, and then now they sit on top of the NFC East division alone at the top right now, sitting at 3-1. So they're looking really, really good right now. It's up to the Monday night game, which, of course, you've been kind of getting ready to get to.
Let me put this bag on my head. Okay, wait on.
The Bears took the win 34-18, although it wasn't even that close, to say the least. And, of course, the big story for this game is not just Cutler and Brandon Marshall and what Brandon Marshall was able to do, going off for 138 yards and one touchdown. But more importantly, Tony Romo, the quarterback that everyone compared Jay Cutler to all week, the quarterback everybody wants to say is elite, the quarterback that everybody thinks can win the Super Bowl, disappoints everyone in Dallas, everyone is a Cowboy fan, by having 5 interceptions in the game. All 5 turnovers the Cowboys had were attributed to Tony Romo, 2 for pick sixes, and they lose the game. And he had an awful, awful, awful game. So awful that we saw Kyle Orton come in with about 6 or 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
He was bent. They just called it for what it was. Tony Romo was bent Monday night. Listen, at the beginning of every show, you talk about my experience, and I watched the Cowboys, the Ice Bowl, even when they played in Cotton Bowl. This is the worst Cowboy game I've ever seen in my life. It was awful. I mean, 41 yards rushing, 5 interceptions. Even though Dez Bryant got 105 yards, you couldn't prove it to me. and let you show it to me all over again because I didn't see it. He did make some catches, but he could have had 205 yards had he caught more balls. The defense didn't play very well. The offensive line was terrible. The running game wasn't there. Tony Romo was awful. The coaching was the worst coach game I've ever seen him coach. And if I was Jerry Jones, he'd be gone. That's how I feel about it. He'd be gone, and Tony Romo would be on the bench.
You know,
this was a slap in the face to Jerry Jones.
As a true Cowboy fan, I was disgusted by watching the game on Monday night. I mean, I was at a loss of words. Disgusted because it's one of those things where it's like enough is enough. Enough is enough. When he throws five picks, I'm thinking it's got to be a Monday Night Football record. Well, come to find out, he tied his own record.
Five interceptions.
Come to find out, Jason Garrett still making rookie coaching mistakes. Not throwing a challenge flag after Rex Ryan have to beg him to throw the challenge flag on that play. He finally throws the challenge flag, which would have given them a fourth down and they had to kick the ball for a field goal, or would have given them a first down. There's no reason to sit there and wait to throw the challenge flag.
It's almost everybody in the stadium and everybody on TV was saying, what is he waiting on? You know, when everybody in the country can question your decision as a head coach, and you don't have enough, I'm not going to say sense, but knowledge to know to throw the flag, and you are, you know, he almost didn't get away with it. It really did. But on paper, if you put this team on paper, it's one of the most talented teams, versatile teams out there. And so you know you got this much talent, but they're not playing together. And, you know, team is a reflection of your coach. What does that tell you about your coach?
I'm not impressed at all.
Last week it was penalties. This week it was poor performance. The week before, I mean, it's always something that needs to be fixed with this team, and I don't understand that.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm so upset and disgusted with this team. It's ridiculous. As a Cowboy fan, as a person that supports the Cowboys and everything that they do, this right here just burns me up, and I'm done with Tony Romo. I'm absolutely done. Anytime you have a quarterback that's done this twice, that's repeatedly failed.
He's done it a lot of times. I can name three right off the top of my head.
Well, and let's not forget last year when he had a 4-interception game.
Right.
Last year. You know, so he's done this. He only has one playoff win at a time. He's here. It's time to look in a different direction.
Right.
And even with the head coach, if the head coach can't get it together, get somebody else. There's so much talent out there at head coach. He can go grab somebody that's actually coached a team before, not someone that's never had a chance to actually coach or head coach a team. And I think, Jerry, I think the pie is on his face right now because he put this team together. He picked these players. He chose these guys. He's got Dez Bryant that doesn't know how to run a route.
Right.
He's got the guys going to drop a ball. He's got Tony Romo, an inconsistent quarterback, trying to make him out to be Troy Aikman or Roger Staubach, and he's not. And right now the egg is on Jerry's face. He's got to figure out what he's going to do next. He's got to start right now in this bye week making his presence felt. And to me, as a Cowboy fan, the emotion I saw from Rob Ryan was what I wanted to see from Jason Garrett.
You never see any reaction from Jason Garrett. You know, even when a guy makes a bad, does something stupid on the field and comes to the sideline, I never see Jason Garrett get in his face. I never see Jason Garrett question a guy. I never see him discipline a guy, bench a guy. I mean, the Cowboys used to be tough. There is no toughness. There's no mental toughness or physical toughness. Nobody steps up to make a play. This is not the Cowboy team I grew up with. I don't know what he has out there. You're absolutely right. Jerry is going to have to stop picking players. He doesn't have the talent for it. And stop giving these guys these big fat contracts after one good season. Let me tell you the excuses Tony Romo gave, and I watched the press conference. I don't know if you saw it or not. Some of the things he said, we have to get over it. How many times have you heard him say that? You know, you just have to get over it and go to the next game. It's going to suck for a few days. You said that year after year, that it's going to suck for a while. We have to get over this. I can't try to do too much. And we know he said that every time they made a mistake to win a game, and even himself, he tried to do too much. And I have to do my job. Well, you failed in doing that period, doing your job. Those are lousy excuses for me. I don't buy them.
I don't buy them one bit. I don't buy them all. I hate to watch him in the press conference because he looks there like, woe is me, my fault. I'm not going to let this happen again. We got to play better. There's more important things than football.
Yeah,
I remember all those quotes. After every time he messes up, I remember all those quotes.
Every one of you said those every time he's had a poor performance. And, you know, another thing I didn't like, the whole team's attitude. Des Bryant said, I had a very average day. No, you didn't. You played terrible.
You played terrible. It wasn't an average about it.
5 yards receiving, but you were terrible.
It wasn't average.
Right. You know, and that's what made me mad. You think guys would be upset. I don't know, Rodney. You explain it to me.
Somebody says something. I can't explain it to you. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I really don't.
Well, let me just say this. These are the things that I've been telling you for years. Finally, you are starting to see the Dallas Cowboy team from my eyes. You understand? This is from my eyes, not just yours. And America was exposed to what the Cowboys are made of. And the makeup of this team, physically, mentally, and the coach, this shows the whole too good of the Dallas Cowboys to me. Nothing.
Well, let's talk about a whole other Dallas team. We got a chance to go to the Mavericks Media Day as the Mavericks get ready for their season, trying to bounce back from a disappointing season last year. They got a brand-new team, brand-new roster. So before we start talking about what we saw and our thoughts about the new Mavericks team as they get ready for training camp, let's listen to one Dirk Nowitzki as he talks a little bit about his offseason, getting married a couple of times, well, four times, and also talk a lot about this new team and what we can expect from this new team as they go into training camp. Here's Dirk here on RFSportsRadio.com.
So, how we doing?
All right.
We're shopping over the summer? My shirt's still good.
In Miami.
It's a good job.
Derek, you do anything interesting this summer?
Yeah.
That was a busy summer for sure. Kind of opened up a new chapter in my life. So that was fun, and traveled around a bunch, and got married like four times, I think. But no, it was good times.
A living woman?
Yeah. I think so. I had a blast and got to experience new things, and then went home to Germany the last 4 weeks, been training with Holger, and just got back on the weekend, and felt good, and got away from basketball about a good three and a half months. So feel good, feel refreshed, and ready to go.
How's the marriage life so far?
Good, you know. After the fourth wedding, I'm like, I'm out of here for a month, so I left for 4 weeks and just got back. But no, things are great, and looking forward to married life for a long time.
Kirk, how different is this? Obviously, last off season was strange because nobody knew exactly when everything was going to get back. You talked about being refreshed, feeling good. How much better is that feeling this year?
Yeah, for me, it was actually a great lesson to learn, you know, that I can't just shut it down all the way to zero anymore and expect to be in shape in 4 weeks. You can do that when you're in your 20s, but, you know, not after 14 years in the league. So I think even though it was a tough year for me last year, I think it was a good learning experience for me. And, you know, this year in the summer, even though I didn't touch a ball for three and a half months, I was basically in the gym already here in June, July, lifting, keeping my legs strong, running. Even on all my trips, I always try to lift and run and keep my conditioning up. So by the time I started basketball again 4 weeks ago, I think the start up was a lot easier than last year. I think last year when I started, I couldn't even touch the bottom of the backboard, and this year I think I could touch it a little bit. So yeah, it's going a lot better, and I took my lessons from last year.
What was all season like to you in terms of, you know, seeing you guys make a run at Williams and not getting that done, and then this story moves a few weeks later, you didn't get kind of your co-star, but what do you think of the way things shook out?
Well, I was pretty obviously disappointed there, the way July started, you know. First Darren didn't come, and then Jake Kidd and Jed left, obviously two Warriors that have been through, you know, a lot of stuff with me, and we won the championship together, and so they were like, you know, like brothers to me. So that was tough to see those two guys go somewhere else. It's going to be weird to see them in different uniforms for sure. But then I think we settled in a little bit. I think Kamen was the first guy to say he's coming, which was a good move. I think Chris should be the best offensive center that I've played with here in my career. For sure, not defensively, but I think offensively, his ability to score in the post, to shoot 16, 17 footers. I think we should be able to play it fine off each other. And then I think getting Darren in was a big move. We definitely needed a point guard. He's fast. He can create his own shot. He can push the pace for it. He can get in the lane, shoot the floater, or find some shooters. So, yeah, I think when we got younger, we got more athletic, and that was always our goal around me. So that was good. And then OJ, I think that came out of nowhere. I didn't even know we were talking to him, so that was a great surprise. I think he's a young player that's already has got some experience in this league. He's a big-time shot maker. So I think all the new guys are going to be great and fitting great, but, you know, we're going to see here in camp how the team's going to look. But I'm looking forward to a good season. I feel good. And that's already a big change.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Okay.
Challenges for you.
All right, that was Dirk Nowitzki talking about his offseason, of course, getting married. He's joking about getting married four times. And to me, Russ, Dirk sounded like he was in a good place in his life right now. He's very happy. He said he hadn't touched the basketball in a while, but he's been in the gym working out. He realized that last season he made a big mistake by not working out during the offseason, thinking he can come back to basketball and get ready to go. And we saw that. We saw it in his performance out last year. It just wasn't his Dirk type of performance that we're used to seeing, especially during that championship run the year before. He also got into a little bit about missing Jason Kidd and Jason Terry and the new guys he has on the floor, Chris Kamen being the best offensive center they've played with since he's been in Dallas, O.J. Mayo, Darren Collison. And just give me what you thought about Dirk's overall mood. I thought it was really good to see him in such a good spirit.
You know, and you're absolutely right. He was in a good spirit. He had a great summer. Like Zay got married. And he got a good workout on that video we saw when he was over in Africa dancing. That was a pretty good workout. But, you know, I see a different Dirk. You know, he got the biggest monkey off his back, having played, 13, 14 years now? And he does have a championship, and I think that's what everybody plays for. To win an NBA title. He has that now. He's been an all-star several times. He's all kind of records, you know, even with the math. So, and then, you know, he completed the whole circle. He got married, and I'm pretty sure kids are coming next. I wanted to ask him that about the kids situation. But it's a different Dirk. He's a more mature, more mellow, and, you know, he's on the downside of his career. And I think he's enjoying life. I think it's a different Dirk now.
What do you expect from Dirk this season? You think that he's going to bounce back? I expect him to have a really good season this year.
Well, I expect Dirk to be Dirk. You know, he's going to give you know, the best pitch in the NBA. And Dirk's going to be Dirk. I think he's going to have help now. He's not going to do too much, you know, because they got a little bit better, and a little bit younger and a little bit faster. I just hope he can keep up with these guys. I do have some concerns. Are we going to talk about the Mavs now? Because I do have some concerns, and these are questions that I need to answer for me in order for them to have a great year. And number one is Roddy B. Will he be the impact player that the Mavs envision? You know, this is his third season, and last year he only played 12 minutes in the playoffs before they were eliminated by the Oklahoma City Thunder. And you know, he hadn't lived up to expectations, as I might say. Don't you agree?
I agree.
And I know he worked out a lot with Coach this year. Coach said he was, you know, he did some boxing over the summer to help himself out. And, you know, we saw him this summer working out with Coach Carlisle. So is he going to be the impact player that we've always thought he could be? You know, when he came from the minor league, he had all these potentials, but we hadn't seen that yet. My next concern is about Chris Caton and his health. He's only averaged 30 games over a five-year span. That's not good. His durability is a big concern to me. And I'm wondering if he could stay healthy. He's already watching practice from the sideline with a sprained lower back. My third concern, I'm not worried about Collison, O.J. Mayo. I think they're going to be just perfect in this system. My other concern is Eldon Brand. Can he be the enforcer that the Mavericks need? And can he do the dirty work and anchor this defense? Of course, he led the league in fragrant fouls, and he could do the same thing in Dallas. I would love to see him lead the league because they need to get tougher. He does average about 1.9 block shots a game. And those are my really concerns. If they can get those, if those guys can fill those roles, Kevin can stay healthy in center. Everybody that's played their role. And I heard Coach Carlisle say earlier that Vince Young is in excellent shape. Now, if we can get anything out of Vince Young, I think the Mavericks will be all right. But those are my concerns going into the regular season.
I think you mean Vince Carter.
I'm sorry, Vince Carter.
I've been saying not Vince Young. Although Vince Young needs a job, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he needs a job. He could maybe go out for basketball. My fault, Vince Carter.
He needs a job.
But those are my concerns.
When you bring up Elton Brand, I think you bring up a good point. I think they all look for him to be a tough guy. But to me, during the interview process with him, it sounded like he wanted to be a scorer. And like he wanted the ball in his hands because he had something to prove. Let's stop for a second and listen to a little bit of what Elton had to say, and then we can talk further about that.
Yes, sir. What's up, Elton? How you doing today? All right.
I guess we got nothing.
So, Elton, being part of the team, obviously, there's a lot of new, yourself being one of the newcomers. Just talk about what it takes to see everybody come together and how long does something like this take?
There were a lot of new faces. A lot of new players. It does take time to gel. So, you know, I think starting training camp early, going to Europe and kind of getting a chance to gel and mesh, I think that'd be beneficial for us. But a lot of guys on one-year deals, I think they want to prove not only to the rest of the league but to our team that, you know, they can play and they want to fit in. And a lot of veteran guys, you know, it's not – we have a good mix of young guys that are hungry, want to get better, but we also have some veteran guys that – I'd also want to win.
As far as Dirk, you've been around Dirk before, obviously. You played against him. And I know you haven't really played with him much except a couple of things that we've run. But what's your impression of him being around
you? You know, great guy. You know, he had a lot of jokes. I didn't know he had so many jokes. I don't really like to get joked on. So, you know, make sure he stays away jokes from me. But he's funny. You know, he's a good guy to be around, good leader. And you can tell that already just being here a few weeks.
Do you feel like you have something to prove?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being amnestied from the team and know, we're being in the playoffs, getting to the second round. Definitely want to prove a lot, but in the right way. You know, not individually. I'm at a point in my career, I'm not worried about the individual stats, just helping the team win and win big. That's my goal, and just being a part of that.
Elton, you played a few years with Heyman with the Clippers. Tell us about him as a player and as a person. I understand he's kind of a little bit of an eyeball.
Let's go ahead and stop it right there because he said exactly what I wanted to talk about. He talked about how, and you asked him a great question about does he have something to prove.
Right.
And I think he does because he's just been amnesty from the 76ers. And 76ers had a great season last year.
Right.
I mean, they made it to the playoffs. They made it very competitive in the playoffs. And for the Sixers to say, you know what, we're going to do it without you this year, Elton, and we're going to go out here and get Andrew Bynum to replace you, I think that says something a lot to him because he saw this young guy come in. They had the opportunity to get Bynum, and they had to go for it, of course. I don't fault the Sixers for doing it. But I think Elton Brand, like he said, I hope his mindset is, now I got to quit worrying about my individual stats and help a team win a championship. And if he has that attitude, I think we'll get the best out of Elton Brand because he's one of those players where if he wants to play, he'll play. If
right.
he doesn't want to play, he's not going
right.
to play. And I think you said the right thing about the one-year deal. And also, later on, we talked about, well, who are you auditioning for? He says he's auditioning for the Mavericks because he brought up a point that I really didn't realize is that the Mavericks are the only team in the NBA that's going to have enough money to sign anybody at the end of the year.
Right.
So if you're a one-year contract guy, you want to be in Dallas because now you can prove yourself to the team, the only team that's going to have any money in the NBA to sign anybody.
And you're absolutely right. I think he has more to prove than anybody on the team because if he doesn't perform well in Dallas, that's it. I don't think nobody will even take him. So you do want to stick around, and I think he will be. His attitude seems to be right. And let's just see how that transforms into his game. But the Mavericks need him. He has a chance to prove himself, like you say. What, he's getting $8 million this year, something like that. But he's got more to lose than anybody because if he doesn't do well here in Dallas, that's it for him.
Yeah, at least with any type of contender, any type of team that's really looking to put a team together with him involved. And then Derek Collison, talking to him, I was very impressed with him. I think the most impressive thing we found out about him was that even when he got traded, the day after, he called Coach Carla and asked for tape on the guys they're going to be playing with because he wants to know how to get them the ball, what spots they want to line up in, where they want to take shots from. If that is the case, then I'm very impressed by a young guy that's willing to take the initiative to kind of get the chemistry going right away.
You know, Collison, he's no slouch. That's for sure. The guy can ball. And, he's on a great team. It's his chance. We already know he's a floor leader. So he really gets a chance to, get a ball of dirt. He really gets a chance to prove himself. The guy does have game. I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm not worried about him and O.J. Mayo. Those are two guys that I'm really least worried about on the Mavericks team.
Now, I'm worried a little bit about O.J. Mayo because he's a streaky shooter, but he's not the best shooter. He's not the best shooter by far. I mean, and sometimes he lets his shooting touch make him have a bad game because now he wants to shoot the ball a lot of time until he makes one. He's not a very good shooter. Sometimes he's gotten a lot better with his play at point guard, but you look at the guards the Mavericks have now. Man, I know you got rid of Jason Kidd, probably the best point guard or one of the best point guards to ever play the game, but you've got Darren Collison, you got O.J. Mayo who can play point, you got Roddy B, as you mentioned before, and he still got the rookie Jerry Cunningham, who's a slasher as well, too. So the Mavericks did get very, very athletic, and I still think, and I know I'm in the minority here, but this is a much better team than what they had last year. And depending on how they play, they could be a better team talent-wise than the team they won a championship with.
I'm starting to believe that more and more.
During that year, it was really Dirk that really put on the all-star performance. It was Jason Terry, of course, that did it in the finals for us. But, man, they got some guys on their team. If they can get them all playing right, Vince Carter, Sean Marion, Dirk Nowitzki, Roddy B, the new guys, they can get them playing right, they may just have a team that's even more stacked talent-wise than the one they won it all with.
Well, and you know, the guards you did mention, all those guards, one thing good about those guards that we didn't have last year with Kidd, but these guys will go to the basket. And Kidd didn't do that. He didn't drive to the basket. He shot a lot of threes, but that does give us a different dimension having guys, young guards, that can take you off the dribble and shoot the three ball. So,
absolutely.
You're right. I think they are better teams.
I agree, no doubt. We thank everyone for tuning in to our show tonight. It's been a great show. We wrapped up the NFL Week 4. We talked about the Mavs, played some audio for you guys as well, too. Just remember, we'll be covering the Mavericks all season long. So if you're a Mavs fan or an NBA fan, go to our website, rfsportsradio.com, or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/rfsportsradio. Don't miss our show next Thursday when our special guest will be Mr. Doug Williams, Super Bowl MVP. Doug Williams, as he talks about his Grambling State Tigers going into the State Fair Classic, and also talks a little bit about black quarterbacks today versus when he started in 1974 in college. So a real good interview we did with him, so make sure you tune in for that on Thursday. For myself and for Royce Fisher as well, we thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned for more sports talk from a fan's perspective on RFSN. And until next time, everyone be safe. Thank you for listening to RF Sports Radio, rfsportsradio.com.